Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everyone, and you're very welcome to our channel NARCCon at this Christmas 2025. Hoping everybody is doing very well. Today I'd like to do a podcast that I think will throw light on confusion if you've just ended a relationship with a narcissist, or even if you're years afterwards and you're still trying to pick up the pieces and get things, get your brain unscrambled, be able to progress in life, find your purpose again, and actually just untangle what happened in the relationship with the narcissist and what goes on in any relationship with a narcissist. You'll find some of these mind games played in every transaction that you will find yourself in life with any type of narcissist, whether it's workplace, family, or relationship wise. So without further ado, let's get into it and see if it resonates with you. And I hope it helps. I hope it unravels things and brings you back to yourself, because it's certainly a dreadful place to find yourself in when you have been dumped literally on your bottom by a narcissist and you don't know what's gone on. You can't make a decision for the life of yourself. You're in a kind of you're in shock, you're in grief. You don't know if you can, you know, go forwards. It's a dreadful place to be. And this podcast, I'm hoping, will unravel the literal brainwashing process that a narcissist brings their victims or targets through. So you'll understand exactly what happened, and it'll make it easier to go forward, I think. I hope. It did for me. And I think that's why a lot of us search for meaning afterwards and look on YouTube and put in words to Google to try and find out what the heck was that. So the first mind game a narcissist will play is the everlasting love. The love, the one and only love that was meant to last and will last forever, is firmly placed in your mind as a thing. So even if you didn't get a, you know, amazing whoopee-doo love bomb, the undercurrent and the persistence is the main part of this. That these brainwashing games go under the radar so that we don't go, ah, this is a manipulation. It's so subtle, it's so succinct, but it's so persistent that it does the job that it's meant to do. So you're really left in no uncertain terms that this relationship is the one, that this person is the one, and they believe they found you. And there's all this mirroring going on and all this, these great plans for the future. And even in the little things, the narcissist will embed, is what I call it, embed in your brain the fact, truth, but non-truth, as you'll find out in the discard, that they're going to be with you well into old age, that they're going to see this out with you, this relationship. And even when you go, say, purchase things for an everyday example, they look for quality in things because they want it to last. You know, we need to have this years ahead. We don't need to be buying, you know, cheap things. We want this to last a lifetime. Well, the bowl may last a lifetime, but the relationship with the narcissist has a lifetime. That's not the lifetime they promise us. So, you know, if you think about this, this particular mind game is a kind of a tie you down. It's a contract binder, sealer. Because if you feel that you have something precious that's worth working towards, and that you feel you can trust this person, they want to be with you forever into old age, then you're going to commit a lot to this relationship working out. So that's the first mind game, and they know they're doing it. They know when they're doing this that they know they won't be with you forever, but they want you to think that you will be. And they get a kick out of this. There's a huge amount of sadism in narcissism. This is like a dessert feeding the narcissist, narcissistic supply. It's their thought process that you're falling under their spell and that they're not vulnerable to you, that they're going to use this to manipulate you to get things they want out of you. First mind game, future faking. The second is a manipulation of your mind into believing that all the dastardly things that happened in their life before they met you, because you have questions, you know, you're wondering, geez, you know, this guy or this gal is, you know, maybe in their 40s or 50s and they don't have much to show for their lives, even monetarily. They don't have many friends. Some of them do. Some of them are very good at keeping lifetime friends. They seem to have a lot of failed relationships. Oh, they've been married 4 times. All of these things. And, you know, they are red flags, but you're so happy you don't want to look at it like that. And the narcissist gives you a beautiful mind game to help you over that little problem and gives you the impression that nothing was their fault. They were the victim of unhappy circumstances. They happened to come across some crazy people, not like you, Paula or John, or, you know, oh, you wouldn't believe these people I came across. Some of them, if they're educated enough and canny enough, may actually say, I was with a narcissist. And you say, what's a narcissist? If they were to tell the truth, they'd say, I am. In any case, the mind game that they would play on you is a false narrative of who and what they are and what their past was. Again, hooking you into the contract to think, gosh, they've had a hard life, they've had a hard time. And when they treat you less than favourably in the devaluation phase, this plays very well into their narrative in you thinking, I must make some allowances. They've had a hard time. They said their ex, you know, treated them badly, wouldn't let them do this and that. I need to give them a bit of leeway because you think the relationship is the relationship and is going to last forever. It's an excuse, this particular mind game, that they were the victim of circumstance and bad people and that they have trauma, you know, from past relationships, and they may well have from childhood, but they went on to cause trauma to other people in their lives. So they did nothing to counter that, but they're asking you to forgive their bad behaviour because they were, say, traumatised or they had something bad happen to them. That's not okay. That's not okay. You shouldn't be being the victim of them because they were the victim of somebody else and did nothing about it other than go on to perpetrate what happened to them, or worse, and worse is usually the case. So false narrative, false representation of the past. Number three. They would play the mind game to get you convinced that they're superior to you because they darn well feel it. They have to give you the impression that they think you're great and you're amazing. And they're very good at that in the beginning because they're very excited about what they're going to get from you. But in their mind, you're a fool because you don't know who they are and they're going to wipe the cards with you. That's what they think. That's what they think. They don't realise that they're actually creating an experience for you that you will overcome and you'll go on to put out more good in the world than you would ever have done prior to this experience. So they are literally, their agenda as a group, as a breed, to take down people and humanity and people that want to do good, actually is a really, really bad design. Because anyone that's been with one of these people if you want to call them that, because they don't act like people, actually goes on to be far stronger and far lighter and far brighter. So stick with it if you're in that tough phase in the discard. You have a lot of good things ahead for you. Okay, so they give you the impression, and how do they give you the impression that they're better than you? Well, again, a brainwashing process in little things, like, say, looking at you doing a task that they had previously praised you for, and they're looking perplexed and concerned, and you're saying, what's wrong? They say, no, go ahead, keep doing what you're doing. It's that subtle perceived criticism that goes under the radar, but you feel uncomfortable because you do feel that they're saying something wrong with what you're doing. And it's, again, walking on eggshells, because you never know when they're going to explode or what they're going to say or what they're thinking. But they do give you the impression that they know better than you. And, you know, when things go wrong, they'll say things like, well, if you had asked me or run it by me, I would have set you straight. Like, you stupid person. I know so much more and things never go wrong for me, despite the fact that they told you they were a victim of their circumstances and their past. You're literally interacting with somebody in the old-fashioned term lunatic asylum. There is no continuity, no truth, total hypocrisy and mind games that affect you and leave you in a state after this relationship. But this podcast is hopefully going to sort that out in some way, or go some way towards that. So, yeah. And the other thing I do remember is things like superior. You think, oh, this person is really superior. They'll get their family to tell you loads of stories, great stories about them, even though you will come to discover that some of the family members, you know, actually really don't like them. They're afraid of them. But when you're brought into the family group, they'll be saying, oh, you know, he's great or she's great. Oh, they did this and they did that. And you're going, oh, wow. It's a whole like bring you in, because you're going to distract the narcissist and we're not going to have to deal with this narcissist while you're in the picture. They can feed off you. So you are welcomed. And I'm sorry to say this, but a lot of the narcissist family will really love bomb you with the narcissist for various different reasons. I remember, you know, are you going to have a shower? Like, to me, yeah, I probably have one. I have to do some gardening, so I'll probably have one later on. And they go into the shower and then, you know, they're preening in front of the mirror and, you know, all this nice, you know, aftershave or whatever on, and they come out and look you up and down like you're the dirtiest, scruffiest thing they've ever seen. And you're kind of going, well, if they'd been doing some work, you know, maybe they wouldn't be as pristine as they are. But there's a kind of a feeling like that your hygiene isn't quite up to standard or something like that. That's probably a bad example, but you leave an example where they particularly used to look down on you or make you feel bad for something, and they put themselves above you, basically. So that is a mind game they'll play, that they are superior to you, that they do know better, and that you should have listened. Number four, they will try and give you the impression, and this kind of comes off the back of the last mind game, that you need help. You need help. That, you know, what you know, you're not that great at things, and you know, you have been a bit forgetful as they've hidden something on you. And I remember actually on one occasion myself, we were going on a trip and I left my bank card in the days when you didn't have them on your phone. I left it on the table and I went to get it and it wasn't there. And I remember thinking, that's odd. That's really odd. And I searched everywhere, and half an hour searching, and it was nearly time where we'd actually miss the connection that we were meant to make on the trip. And lo and behold, Mr. Narcissist goes over to the table where the card was and looks under it and quickly says, it's here, and I'd looked under it. I mean, who would play those kind of games? What kind of nut would do that? It's like, that was exhausting. That was kind of, you know, putting us in chaos and panic, and also kind of going, that was meant to make, you know, that's meant to make the target or the victim feel like they don't have quite a good grip on reality, that they need help. All of these are persistently little things that actually have a devastating, dramatic effect on an individual if played over time constantly. So the old gaslighting mind game is a good one that the narcissist uses. And they lose things and say that somebody else took them. And then you find this thing, you know, when they're trying to put you against someone, you find this thing, this top or t-shirt stuffed down behind the back of a chest of drawers months later, and they go, oh, I forgot I put it there, if they were to tell you the truth. To think that you would waste time doing all these stupid things to take up somebody else's energy and to make somebody else think that they're going crazy. It's a thing, guys. It's a thing. Number five, mind games narcissist will play. You need to prove at some point in the devaluation, the narcissist wants you to put out more. So they need you to prove your love for them. This is, after all, a transaction. This is a contract that the narcissist bound you into. They bound you into the contract that you would be together forever and that they were having a relationship with you and that you were getting a prize, notwithstanding that you were the narcissist's prize, that you were getting a prize, and they have put a down payment on you. They decided that they would spend time with you and they want to be paid for that. So what they will do is get you to show that you love them by, say, they say to you, you're spending an awful lot of time with your family. You know, that club you belong to is taking up a lot of time. I thought actually I was more important than that to you. Obviously, I'm not. You know, the little child sulking. You know, I want to go with you. You don't have time for me anymore. Perfectly playing into their isolation game, mind game. But this is a mind game to make you give up your what makes you you and spend more time with them, because the payout is going to be wonderful. They're going to stay with you forever. Praise God they didn't. Even if it's painful at the moment, you will understand this as time goes on. It was the best thing that could have happened, to be carried out of that relationship, even if it was with a cruel discard by the narcissist. These type of relationships are actually an end for a person, if I can put it like that without being more explicit on YouTube. So they will get you to put out for them, to give up things for them, saying that you don't care enough about them. And if you did, you wouldn't do. There's always these kind of, if you did, you wouldn't do. All this kind of, you know, prove to me you love me. That's a big mind game, particularly in the devaluation stage. They will come out with sentences like, you only really think about yourself, don't you? And now this could be you spend 99% of the time looking after the narcissist's needs, doing what they want, paying their, you know, whatever they want you to pay for. Basically dedicating yourself to them. And the one time you want to go for a walk on your own, it's all about you. You only care about yourself. So number six, and this leads on from number five, they'll actually want you to show that you trust them and show that you're in the relationship for the long haul, even though they know they're not. They're not. They will want you to financially commit something to them because they want to be paid for their time. And that's what they came into the relationship, one of the reasons they came into the relationship for, so that they'd either leave financially better off or with some extra status or property or job or your group of friends turned against you. Whatever's going to up them in the world. So they will ask you to put them on the deeds of your house, sell your house and go and buy a house with them where you'll be contributing the majority of the finances, or bring you into the business, but it'll be official. They'll want to do something official or pay their loans off for them, but you get the loan of the money and give it to them, no paperwork, that kind of thing, to show your trust and commitment to the narcissist, even though you've been bending over backwards to do that. And anyone in a loving relationship could see that you love them 110%. That's not what the narcissist is about. You have to prove it. Pay it. That's a mind game of the narcissist. Prove you love and trust me. Number 7, your family. This is a hangover in the discard. Damaged relationships of yours. They'll say to you, for a lot of different reasons, I'll go into the main ones now, the isolation game. They'll say your family doesn't actually really love you. They're jealous of you. They're always demanding your time. You know, we're in a relationship now. They're jealous of our relationship. They don't like me, says the narcissist, and will make up things and cause discord between you and family members in order to isolate you, have 100% of your services and output, and be the single most, strongest, most source of your validation or feedback to you as a person as to who you are and what you are. So isolation is a huge mind game of the narcissist, because it gives them ultimate control and it gives them their voice going into your head over and over and over and over again. And the looks, the devaluing looks, the, you know, the way that they will say things to you, like particularly towards the end when they're isolating you, when you don't have a point of reference to anybody else, they'll say, everybody thinks that you're. And that'll mean everybody in the whole world thinks that you're this, therefore it must be true. And the person that you love the most is telling you this, therefore it must be true. And you haven't had anyone else telling you anything else about who and what you are, and you've got your identity mixed up with the narcissist, and the narcissist version of you is the one you're hearing every single day, and you're beginning to go, oh. It's turning you against people. Not everyone has families that love them, but generally when the narcissist gets in and the families that do love the target or victim, the victim is very confused as to their past relationships and who actually does care for them and what they have to do in this situation, how they can ameliorate it, how they can make it better or amend it. And it's often because the narcissist will give such a hard time with this particular mind game that people say it's easier just to either sneak out to see their family or not to tell the narcissist they're going to see their family, or to stop seeing their family altogether. And the very last one, and this is, I think, the worst mind game that a narcissist can play on their target. And this is to convince you that you alone are to blame for the breakdown of what could have been a wonderful relationship with a wonderful person. And they will bring in to this one, which is another mind game that I hadn't listed, triangulation, competition, comparing somebody else, saying that, one, you have a lot of problems. Two, you let the narcissist down and that you weren't who you said you were at the beginning of the relationship, that you have changed. Notwithstanding that it's the narcissist that has done a 100% flip on how they viewed you, you haven't changed. In fact, you've tried to put out for the narcissist more than anyone else maybe in your whole life. You've put your own needs to the side and you've looked after the narcissist. But this is what comes at the end of the relationship with the narcissist. It's the way they have to flip the script. They can go off justified then in taking your finances that they made you sign over to them, saying, you're to blame. You know, I come away, the damage you did me in the relationship, if I come away only with some financial gain, it's the very least that you could get from spending time with you and your craziness and how awful it was and what you tried to do to me. Total projection. And then they'll triangulate you with a new supply or their ex and say, I've never been with anyone worse than you. In fact, my ex was so much better, or the new person they're going off to was so much better. And notwithstanding that they had, you know, downed their ex to you as the worst person in the world in the beginning of the relationship. So I hope you can see the worst mind game that they leave you with, because it has such a hangover effect with all the other brainwashing techniques they used in the relationship. You're scratching your head as to, am I really to blame? And you begin to believe that you're really to blame for the narcissist leaving you because of the work they've done on you on a daily basis over a period of time with extreme persistence that did fly under the radar, that you didn't pick up on, because they're so darn good at this manipulation, this building into you, this kind of self-doubt, lack of self-esteem, relying on your commitment to the dream they sold you at the beginning of the relationship and the fact that you would be together forever. It is such a shock when they pull the rug from under you and then blame you for falling down. So they make it all your fault and you're left thinking that and trying to unscramble what happened in the relationship. Was it all your fault? And they go off riding on their donkeys, pretending that they're riding on race horses, and they go off into the sunset, leaving you shattered and boosting themselves up, feeling like they're in a superior position when they're absolutely not. They're the spawn of the devil gone off after doing the devil's work, basically. That would be my opinion of them, which you can gather is not the best. These are the type of mind games that have been played on you, and you don't feel stupid to have not picked up on them. They are expressly done so that you don't pick up on them. But the narcissist knows what they're doing. And if anyone tells me a narcissist doesn't know what they're doing, they may not have it to the forefront of their consciousness, but they know the effect they're having on someone. They just justify it with something. So to me, that's the worst they can do, to make you feel that you're responsible for the relationship breakdown. Don't believe it for one second. They do this to everybody all of the time in every relationship. So if all these people are to blame and the narcissist isn't to blame for any of this, just think about that, because it doesn't make one damn bit of sense. Oh, I was meant to tell you that my sound technician that's working on the audible version of Weaponized Love said that I can tell you that it will be out on Monday. He'll make sure that it goes live for this Monday, which is the 22nd of December 2025. So I hope that anyone that hasn't purchased it yet will enjoy maybe the audible version. I've recorded it myself. I hope it works out and I hope you enjoy it. That's it for now. We will be back to you with another podcast before Christmas. You look after yourselves, please, and recover well. Self-care, education, be good to yourself, and we will see you again soon. Bye for now.